you're listening to Season 3 of IVF Tales, the Tale Teller Takeover.
Hey Simone, thank you for having us today.
Hey Simone, thank you. So it's Yael
and Lucy.
We're both going to talk about our journeys and we're going to also share, so we're going to share our journeys individually, mm-hmm. But we're also going to share how we crossed paths and how we ended up with the same fertility specialist and the same OB, which is super exciting. But we'll touch on that
And how we actually discovered that you actually knew my husband and we actually lived just a few minutes away from each other.
Absolutely. Talk about small world and full circles, I think.
Yeah.
We'll touch on that. Yeah.
So let's start with your story, Yael, because I know you had quite a journey before we met online through Instagram and through the IVF community. When did you meet your partner?
So I met hubby in 2014 and I was... my brain might muck up some dates and whatnot, but I'm like to remember that I was 37 at the time. I'm pretty sure I was. And then we got married in 2017. So I was closer to 40. Then I think I had my 40th birthday the year after our wedding because we got married in October. And yeah, birthday was the following May. So, you know, obviously being older, I was very mindful when I was single about my body clock, but then also more so mindful when I met hubby that it wasn't like, hi, how are you? Great. Do you want to have a kid tomorrow? Because my clock's ticking. So it was a fine line of, you know, wanting to enjoy our marriage, our relationship, moving in together, but then also, you know, not leaving it too late.
Mm. And did you always want kids?
Absolutely, always wanted kids. In my circle of friends, all of them have now got teenagers, ironically.
Wow.
But if you asked all of them, I was always the one, probably even before most of them.
Mm-hmm.
There were even a few that were like, oh, no, I don't know if I want kids. And, you know, but, you know, everyone knows me as, Yael was definitely always wanting kids. I remember a chat with a best friend in primary school and I can see us vividly sitting on the stairs talking about, you know, oh, what age we're going to have kids and what we're going to do with our lives, you know, and I was like, oh, by 25 I'm going to have like, you know, 2 or 3 kids, that's definite, and that was kind of like my life goal, that was it, like it wasn't,
had it all planned out,
I'm not going to be a doctor or I wasn't going to be, you know, there was none of that, it was just, I'm going to have kids by 25 and be married. And I remember my best friend at the time going, yeah, 25 is super old, and we thought that was super old. And but yeah, obviously life has its own, you know, its own journey and its own, you know,
plan for us.
Yeah, plan, absolutely. And yeah, I think hindsight's also a lovely place, you know. I with my concerns of my body clock, I actually went to a GP at 35 before I met my husband when I was single, and I was worried about it. So he's like, we can check your AMH. I didn't know what that was. I had no idea.
And what does it stand for, anti-Müllerian hormone?
Oh, you're very good, because I would have said, I don't know, Lucy.
So, which checks your
egg reserve.
Yeah, egg reserve.
Yeah. That's all I knew, is that he can tell me how
not
many...
the quality, but just check...
That's exactly right. Just tell me roughly how many eggs I might still have. So anyway, the results came back and he's like, oh, yeah, you've got reserves of a 20-year-old. I'm not concerned. I have no worries. If you're super, super concerned, you could go down the path of freezing eggs. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, look into that. And the cost of freezing eggs back then was, you know, astronomical for me with where I was at my life back then as well. And, you know, it also wasn't so talked about. And, yeah, it's
more
just,
taboo back
then. Very more taboo. And I still think it is now, right?
Yeah,
I feel like I spent my whole high school being educated about, don't sneeze, you'll fall pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. How not to.
Yeah. And so I was on the pill for as long as I could remember.
Yeah.
Also because I had really bad period pain, so I went on it really early. But aside from that, it was like, oh, my God, if I missed one tablet, I would be like...
pregnant.
I was like freaking out, you know. And so you spend your whole single life and you know, in, you know, different types of smaller relationships. But, like, yeah, you spend your whole single life fretting that you're going to fall pregnant at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Only to find out when you really want to have a baby that it's bloody hard.
Yeah, that's right.
There's, like, so many components involved. So, anyway, not to ramble too much because we know that I can do that. So we'll go on to...
So you met hubby, you met Lawan.
Yep.
Your beautiful husband, 2014.
Yep, married 2017.
Okay.
And we decided 2019 we were going to start
trying. Did you have a conversation about it? Was it you?
Yeah.
Was it him? Was it like a mutual...
So there was a piece where hubby was a bit like, oh, we, you know, we'll be right. My husband's very optimistic, and even through our whole journey, IVF journey, he was always, without him, I don't think I would have made it through the other end. But he was always the rock that kept us going, but always was very hopeful. So he naively thought, again, like we were told at school, that it was easy. Like everyone he knew had kids, like... No one talked about IVF, and definitely I feel like our hubbies are less aware of troubles and
we
stuff like
that. We
have
the body clock, not them.
Yeah,
so it's
that's right.
Yeah.
So he just assumed it was going to be, you know, easy. So he was like, yeah, no pressure, let's enjoy marriage and blah, blah. So we sort of stumbled a little bit back and forth, and we then obviously... It was a big thing for me. I had my AMH, actually, I forgot to mention, twice. So when I first met hubby, 2 years after doing it at 35, I panicked. And I was like, oh, I can't push him into a kid now, but let's just check. Like, the GP said, we can check again. Nothing had changed. It was still what the GPs called amazing. So I was okay. But still, you know, not trusting 100% and still having that body clock worry. But I didn't want to put the pressure on our relationship and our marriage. We were newly married. So, you know, you want to enjoy that too, but time was ticking. So we spoke and me being me and super worried, decided, let's not even try. Let's go and get tests.
So
I don't want to try.
Yeah. Type A personality, organized, such a planner. I'm exactly the same.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to try for 12 months and then find out that there was something small wrong that we could fix. Like, so... I said to him, let's go, and he thought I was mad. I said, let's just go get tests. I don't know what tests there are. I have no idea, but let's just ring, you know, someone and find out. Yeah. I didn't really have a great GP at the time because I'd moved suburbs in with my hubby and was establishing a new GP. So, I don't know, I looked online and Janaea popped up because they're the big guns. And I rang their 1300 number and went to see their GP. We just wanted all the, like, the... What's it called? Preliminary test done. So we went down that path.
You didn't even see your GP.
I didn't even go to a GP first. I went, so you can ring the 1300 number on Janaea and you actually get their in-house GP for free.
Okay. Was it face-to-face?
Face-to-face.
Okay.
Yep.
This was before COVID times, right?
Yeah. So 2019.
Okay.
Towards the end of 2019. So we went and met this GP and, yeah, I came out of there bawling my eyes out. So the experience was intense.
What happened?
I felt we were just judged for, like, what are you two 40-year-olds sitting in front of me? Like, Luan had a Deuce t-shirt on, so she automatically put him in the bikey category. I was me, a bit overweight, so I was already obese and not looking after myself, and how do you expect to, you know, my husband smoked at the time, he doesn't now, but... He did at the time and had smoked for a long time, so she judged him for smoking. And anyway, we walked out of there really being ripped to shreds. We
it's
got
really
told
because it's so intimidating even making the first step to
absolutely.
Talk about your fertility.
Yeah, absolutely. And we walked in there thinking, yes, our age is an issue, but we didn't really think about all these other components.
Well, how are you supposed to know? It's not like a known thing, right?
Yeah. And then we didn't expect to get the... I think it was more the abrupt, lack of empathy that we got, which was really startling for us. We didn't expect that. But anyway, we walked out of there being told that, you know, first we got told, do you want to be around for your kids, you know, like when they're 20, you guys will be 60, yada, yada, yada. So, you know... Luan smoking wasn't great, me being overweight wasn't great, which yes, they're right factors, but maybe tactfully could have been addressed a bit better. Anyway, we also got told we had a 7% chance of falling pregnant naturally.
Wow. So how did they come up with that percentage?
It was just on a chart with stats. So due to our age, being of our age, so I think over 35 was pretty much like, as you got older, it went downhill. Yeah. So we got to 7%. So we walked out of there. We also got told to do genetic testing and a whole heap of other things. So we just did everything we were told, right? So we went and did our tests. Luan had his sperm check. Everything was fine. Everything came back fine.
And what tests did you have done? Do you remember?
Oh, I think I had an ultrasound, internal, a whole heap of bloods. I had also done some... I had taken all my bloods and obviously the AMH, which was also... something that I was told was irrelevant and not to bank on, and why did I do that? And so it was a bit of a traumatic first start to our potential IVF journey. At the time, we weren't even sure we were going to do IVF. We were just wanting to figure out what do we need to do to be in the best position to not try naturally. So it was a bit overwhelming and a bit shocking, but anyway, we walked out and we did everything we had to do. And off we went and tried our first cycle.
So they didn't even recommend trying naturally?
They did. So we had three... Sorry, I should have explained that. So we had 3 months to try naturally.
Okay, they gave you 3 months.
Yeah. And because of age.
Even though after she said you had...
Yeah, well, we walked out and my husband, bless him, he's like, 7% fine, Olivia... It's fine. It counteracts, you know, people that have issues... You know, people that have like it's a mixed bag of everyone, and that's where they're getting the 7%. But we don't have any, you know, infertility issues.
Yes.
So maybe it's not 7%. And I was like, oh, but she said 7%. You know, so we went on our way thinking, still very naive to what was ahead of us. Like at that point, still super hopeful, like you said, but very naive of all the hurdles that we would encounter along the way. Then we went into our first trying naturally for the very first time. And
did you think you were pregnant the first month?
It worked the first month.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe I didn't share this
no.
with you. Yeah. So ironically, first cycle, pregnant. And I'll never forget that I did the test at home.
Mm-hmm. Did you have symptoms?
I don't think I had symptoms, no.
Okay.
But I did the test at home, and, like, I had it in my head that I was going to surprise hubby and blah, blah. But I just came out screaming, we're pregnant. And he's like, what? And it was early in the morning, and he was half asleep. Hubby's definitely not a morning person. And I was just in such shock, but in such happiness.
Mm.
And he's like, see, 7%. So we just thought we had, like, you know, won it all. We then were like, easy, you know, everything was fine. And then even being pregnant, obviously first time, I don't know all of the next steps leading up. I don't know anything really. I'm going blind. And we didn't really have anyone along the way. So we didn't have a doctor overseeing it or anything like that. We were just pregnant. And I just thought this was amazing. So rang my GP, did the bloods, and she, for some reason, did all my bloods but didn't do the HCG.
Okay, why?
I have no idea. She said it's not standard, there's no need for it, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, off I go. Again, I don't even know what HCG was at the time,
yeah.
Right? So I'm just like, I'm pregnant, I've peed on a stick, it's woohoo, it's done. So off we go. It happened to be a weekend, I think it was a Friday night, we were going for dinner and I started bleeding and instantly just rattled. And we tried to go to the hospital, they're like, we got kicked back out of the hospital, we're busy, I said, but I'm pregnant, how much blood is there? I'm like, I don't know. Are you filling a pad? I'm not wearing a pad. I'm pregnant. Like, just, I don't even know how to navigate the answers. Like, I'm bleeding and I'm pregnant. And to me, that's all, like, that's a no-no, right? So And I got sent away. Like, we're too busy. You'll be here till tomorrow morning. You may as well go home.
Was this just a few days after doing bloods with the doctor?
So this was... I was due for my dating scan the following Tuesday.
Wow.
So this was a Friday, the weekend of. So I would have been 6 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. With natural, it's a bit hard, but I would have been around that 6 to 7 week mark. Anyway, then we went to, my husband's like, stuff this hospital, we're going to another hospital on a mission to find some help. We got another nurse at triage that was really lovely. She said, look, we are chockers. There's no point in you waiting. But she gave me the early pregnancy centre or the... It's part of the hospital. But
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, so, and I didn't know about it either. She gave me their number. She told me that the first thing I need to do is try and get an ultrasound. She also told me if I am miscarrying, there's nothing anyone can do. And I didn't even think that was what was wrong. Like, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't even, like, get my head around that. So, anyway, overnight, the next morning, I was bleeding still, and the next morning, I passed tissue. So I then... My gut feeling told me this was definitely not good news. We rang the early pregnancy centre, I think that's what it's called, and we got someone lovely on the phone who said, come straight away, we can, like, assess you, blah, 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 and bring whatever you've got. So here I am taking this tissue with me, and off we went. And I just had this gut feeling, like, I just didn't feel the same, and I just felt that, yeah, something wasn't right. I started, at that point I did have some sort of symptoms. My boobs were sore and whatnot. So I sat with her and she's looked at me and said, look, we'll do some bloods, we'll send you off for a scan. But from what you're telling me and from what you've brought in, you've had a miscarriage. So devastated.
I'm so sorry. I didn't even know what happened to you.
Awful.
You never shared it with me. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
So that was our first miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
We then went on. I still had to go and do the scan just to make sure everything was clear, which was awful.
With the same.
Well, I remember going and he was like, no. So I had to go...
To an actual place.
Yeah. Because the hospital wouldn't do it. It was weekends. So it was just a lot of running around to uncover what we sort of already knew. Anyway, everything was clear and confirmed what we confirmed. And at that point, I was defeated. So I think this was, I'd like to say, probably towards middle of 2019. And by the end of 2019, we still tried we had those few months to keep trying. So, I don't know, I just also felt quite dismissed with my miscarriage. It was like, oh, well, at least you've fallen pregnant and, you know, it can happen and just keep trying and, you know. So I just felt, we weren't in fertility at that point. So I started doing research and rang clinics to figure out, what do we do? I rang my GP and my GP recommended a bulk bill clinic. So I was like, you know what? I'll do some research, have a look. I don't really know what I'm researching because I have zero knowledge at the time. Anyway, we are still trying naturally, but still having no luck. And then we had our first appointment. At the start of 2020, it could have been over December 2019, I feel like, because I think we were starting IVF February the following year, 2020. So we saw a fertility specialist who highlighted age was my biggest problem. Nothing else with all the testing that we did came up, just age-related. Luan's side was all fine as well, but just age-related. So we started IVF, and I really didn't at that time talk about it. It was hush hush, don't tell anyone.
Mm.
Even hubby was a bit like, do we have to do IVF? It will happen. But I was like, we just don't have time, right? So IVF it is.
Did you tell anyone in your family or your friends?
I feel like my family, yeah, my family knew and my super close friends knew. But when I met you, I was very open. Like, I would talk about it with anyone and everyone, right?
Yeah.
A completely different, just a different mentality to when we started. And I think there's also that stigma that IVF, like, frowned upon, like,
yeah.
That's not, you know, that's not a good way of falling pregnant, like...
It's not natural.
Yeah.
It's not the natural way.
Yeah, natural's best, like, when it's not, right? Like, it's just...
It's assistance, really.
It's assistance, and
yeah,
to be honest, it's amazing. Like,
it is.
There are... Our parents' generation, and even before our parents' generation, wouldn't have had that.
That's right.
So...
Thank God.
Yeah, absolutely. IVF. Thank God. I think the first IVF baby was born the year I was born, 78. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Jane.
So,
is her name Jane?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
I just remember the year 78 because I was born. So it just goes to show that, like, yeah, well before my parents' generation, they wouldn't have had access to what we have. So if they weren't able, they just weren't able, right?
Mm. So sad.
Anyway, different story. And I got to get moving, right? So we started IVF.
Yeah, I was a rambler. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm a rambler. So we started IVF 2020. Went to my first nurse appointment. And
did you have to wait long?
I think it was about, I believe we saw our fertility, we waited for our fertility specialist maybe 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was crazy. And then we had to do the nurse orientation and all of that. And he was really firm on, you don't have time, so just get in as soon as you can. So straight away, sent off for orientation. I remember the nurse showing me the needle, and I remember her telling me, you've got to do your first injection right now. And I'm like,
wow.
Excuse me? And I had planned with hubby that he was going to do them all, right?
Yeah.
So we had talked about it. He couldn't make that first orientation appointment. So when she told me I had to do it right there and then, I was like, no. And I cried. And she was beautiful. And she was amazing. And she said, I don't care how long it takes you, but you have to do it. Unfortunately, I need to know that you can do this, because if hubby isn't home, it's really important that your needles get done same time, every day, and God forbid something happens and he can't be there, you also need to do it. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think of that. Okay.
She threw you in the deep end.
She threw me in the deep end, and
how
she
long
was
did it take
beautiful.
You?
I think I sat there for about 5 minutes crying, and I think I made 3 or 4 attempts before I was like, all right, I can do this. And I did it. And funny enough, yeah, I think I remember it hurt. Maybe I was just so rattled that I don't even remember feeling it. I remember feeling accomplished that I did it.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
I've
it's
done
the
it.
Best feeling, the first, after the first needle, you feel so good.
I feel like when you're further in the thick of it, they start to you start to feel them for what they are. Yeah. But yeah, so then my game plan changed, and hubby was not doing my needles, because the next day he went to do my needles. Hubby's a carpenter, so he's very heavy-handed. And he's like coming at me with this needle, and I'm like, whoa, 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 hang on. The control freak, the control freak that's in me is like, I can feel what I'm doing, and I don't know when you're, and like...
And I'm experienced now.
I've done one. So I'm all over this. So, yeah, so then I ended up doing all my injections throughout my whole...
I remember you used to record them. I remember watching, you used to record them, talk through them. I'm like, well, she's a pro. She's really good at this.
I used to do them all.
It used to be multiple, like one and the second one.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah, some days there were three, and then, add Clexane to the mix, and some days, but we'll get to that. So,
first cycle, how many days were you on? Was it a 10-day cycle?
Ooh. You know, this is where I'm going back to this first clinic, and also a bit of a touch on how we met. no knowledge is no power. And I feel more knowledge is definitely power. And at this point, I was just blind. I luckily remember my stats, but I couldn't tell you when I did a scan or if they did a scan or, you know, what follicles looked like on certain days. I just remember ringing up when you got your periods and booking in.
Mm-hmm.
So did that first cycle. We got 15 eggs collected. I don't really recall the fertilization number, but I feel like it was 8 fertilized and then 5 embryos at day 5 blastocysts. Yeah, and again, naive Yael had no idea that in your 40s getting 5 embryos is quite unheard of, and great results. But also just in general, right? Like,
yes.
I only can speak from my infertility being age-related, so to speak, or unexplained, but age-related was the biggest cause, right? Whereas I do obviously now see knowledge that there are women in their 20s that can end up doing a full cycle and get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm mindful of that as well. But I had no idea. Or women in their 20s that get 7 embryos. Like, it all varies, obviously, but we didn't realise that getting 5 embryos was great numbers. We just thought, oh, yeah, that's what we got.
Mm.
So it was kind of like our benchmark too. Like, from then on, I just thought that was standard. So, yeah, we were told we had a textbook IVF cycle, so that was great. And then we did a fresh transfer and fell pregnant first
time. Day 3 or day 5?
Day 5.
Okay, wow.
So, again, first time pregnant, first cycle. So we were like, again, this is easy, like, walk out, this is easy, really. And yeah, we got to...
And how were you feeling
at this point?
Were you hopeful or were you a little bit worried about, you know?
I think naively I look back at this point on our journey and I feel like my first miscarriage was very much dismissed as so common,
mm-hmm.
it's okay, don't stress. You know, I heard time and time again from anyone and everyone that, oh, I had one, it's so common. But it was very much dismissed and just get back on the bandwagon.
Mm.
And I feel like I never grieved my first miscarriage.
Yeah.
So when I fell pregnant again, I still had that, I went back to, you know, excitement and I'm pregnant and still that naive space of...
I'm going to have a baby in 9 months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So off I went, thinking everything was fabulous. Only this time we went to the dating scan. And at the dating scan...
6.5 weeks, 7 weeks?
Yeah. So we were at an IVF accurate, right? So
yes,
they set
right.
me off. They set me off at 6 weeks, this clinic. Worked
okay.
off for 6 weeks. And they did warn me that you might not hear a heartbeat, but go at 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was 6 weeks and 5 days, like, by the time I aligned bookings and whatever. And they said go between 6 and 7, actually, sorry. So I wanted to go closer to the 7 mark. And I think it was around the 6.5 week mark. So off I go to my appointment. And I just went to a normal imaging place, right? Again, another thing that hindsight I would have maybe done differently, but you don't know.
You don't know, yeah.
I went there and I had this lovely guy and did the external, was a bit, you know, didn't really, he's like, I need you to empty your bladder, we'll do an internal. And I'm thinking, okay, still have no idea, thinking everything's fine. And then off I go, come back and he's looking around and he's like, I can see a sac, but I can't quite see anything inside, but look, maybe you're 5 weeks. I need you to come back. And I'm like, oh, but I did IVF.
Yes.
And I was
going to be the right date.
Yeah. And I was like, he's like, yeah, but you know, it can vary 2 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, it can vary 2 weeks, maybe naturally.
Natural cycle, yeah.
But at this point I had a little bit of knowledge, not heaps of knowledge, but I'm like, but I got to a point where I was with my mother-in-law because my husband couldn't come. And she knew what we had gone through the first time and was not letting me go by myself. So we walked out and we had a coffee and we're both sitting there trying to work out and like, maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right, maybe I, like, and we were trying to, you know, the 5-day post-trans, like, the transfer 5 days, and, you know, when's the actual conceived day, and, like, just doing our head in. But my gut was telling me, no, this isn't a good sign. Anyway, we then spoke to the clinic, and the clinic straight away were like, I need you to come in to the early pregnancy center. I need you to do another scan. So I then did another scan. And again, they gave us a week leeway. They said it could be a week out, but it's still not, please don't hope, please don't, like, carry hope on this. And we're like, okay. So another scan, different person. Oh, maybe. And I'm like, no, there's no maybe. Like, I'm pretty sure that this isn't, like, if it hasn't progressed from last
time,
what it is, then I don't think that's a good sign, right?
No.
And still wasn't clear. So then it continued. I got to 10 weeks before someone officially... I was in limbo for 3 weeks. I had 4 internals because I went to an imaging place and the hospital said, well, their scans are different to our scans. And so I got the ring around. The hospital did 2 scans because they legally needed to have that 11-day period to check that to check if there was a difference. So I had to have 2 scans within the hospital, and you know, you have this little glimmer of hope that maybe, but my gut knew that no. So it was called a blatum ovum.
Blatum.
Yeah. And again, they just tell me that, and I'm like, what's that? Like, how about explain? So, like, you know, you're just in a whirlwind of hurt and pain, but also getting told jargon that I just don't know, right? Anyway, so, yeah, unfortunately, didn't progress. The clinic were great, offered counselling and everything, but then again, just let's get back on the wagon. And I think I was in this state of desperation to have a kid, and time was, like, my biggest problem, that I never stopped, so I just kept going. So as soon as I was allowed to, I had a D&C for the miscarriage because I didn't pass naturally, which
would have been tough.
That was awful. I remember being wheeled in and I was in hysterics, and they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like,
what's wrong?
And the first nurse said to me, it's okay, at least you can fall pregnant.
Are you kidding me?
And
wow.
I was like,
don't say that again.
Yeah. But in my gut, right? Yeah, what not to
say.
But in my gut, I'm like, maybe she's right. Am I meant to think that way? But I don't feel that way. But should I be counting my blessings? Anyway, at that time, I was like, maybe I'm too old. Maybe it's just, maybe motherhood's not for me. So I was petrified. So off we go, have the surgery, have recovery. Yeah, a lot of heartache. And
how was Luan?
Luan, throughout, at this point, he was still the strongest man I know, right? Like, you'll be right, we're okay, it will happen. You'll be right, we're okay, it will happen. Obviously, like, you know, hugs and warmth and whatever, but still that optimistic, positive rock. He felt, if I fall apart, we all fall apart, right? So, he was always like, I've just got to support her through it, and that's the only way he knows how. Like, stay strong, we're fine, stay positive. So he was great. And then we went on to our second cycle. In the midst of this second cycle, I was also in desperation to get answers. At this point, I wanted answers. So I...
On your fertility?
Yeah, on my fertility. So I joined IVF over 40 on Facebook. I joined all these Facebook forums. Wasn't really big on Instagram myself personally, so I didn't really know that there was a whole community on Instagram as well. But I joined the over 40s and was just searching and searching, and loads of people were talking about a reproductive immunologist. So I was like, yep, I'll try him. At this point, I was trying acupuncture. I was on every supplement you could name of. I was reading loads about egg quality and then trying to add more supplements, thinking maybe that's the problem. Then I was reading loads about numbers game, like over 40.
Educating yourself.
Yeah, so yeah. I started to get this eye-opener to so much information. And I wish... hindsight that I would have done it at the beginning. But again, I was like,
you don't know, don't look at
an IVF page. Don't add yourself to anything. No one knows. Like, you can't, right? So it's a big shush. So I saw this immunologist who looks at an immune protocol on top of IVF, and he deals with people through natural and IVF pregnancies and trying. So that's a piece that I then started looking into as well. So I did tests with him. And then I remember getting to it was close to the end of the year, and I was like, nah, I want to have second opinions. Our fertility specialist, for me to have a consult with him, it was a three month wait. In the meantime, we were still doing frozen transfers, because obviously we had four in the freeze. So we were doing frozen transfer, failed, and it got to...
Were you getting answers, like...
No, so with the clinic I was at, you just dealt with the nurses.
Okay.
And I spoke to my fertility specialist, our very first consult, at the beginning of the year, and we were getting close to October, and I had never spoken to him again. So
wait, hold on. When your cycle didn't work, the frozen transfer, you didn't have a W2F appointment to discuss?
No.
No breakdown?
No.
So you're only dealing with the nurses the whole time?
Only dealing with the nurses. There was no one saying maybe you should have a follow-up. There was no one. It was just a rotation of, you've got four in the freeze. We can do a frozen if you want. Just book in. Everything was done online.
Wow.
There was no review. And again, naively, I didn't know any other, I didn't know better. I didn't know any other clinic. I didn't know anybody else as well. Mm. I was very in my world of just, okay, that's what you do. You just try again. So we tried again. So we're chipping away through our five embryos. And I got to, like, I think I had one frozen and I was on my, would have been fourth, right?
And sorry, were these all the same cycles, unmedicated?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so they didn't natural, not one thing was changed. Absolutely
and
the same.
And obviously the embryos weren't tested.
And bulk bill clinic, embryos not tested. Lucky I have you here, hey? You're giving everyone more information that I'm just missing while I ramble. So getting to one left in the freeze and doing my fourth transfer, freaking out. So I've rung my specialist and the reception's like, oh, he's got a 3 month wait. And I'm like, but I'm not a new, I'm not new. I'm just wanting a follow up because I don't feel like, should we be testing? Should we? And again, I didn't know you couldn't test frozen. Like, I don't know, but I'm wanting to ask questions and I'm getting a brick wall. So I was getting really frustrated and also very depressed. I really isolated myself from, like, friends, family, events. I felt like I was always going to ultrasounds, blood tests,
it's your new
work, and I was just churning and burning, and that was my absolutely.
Well, you're probably burning out because it's back-to-back failures.
Yeah.
You know,
and no time
on repeat, and it's like it consumes you. This world,
yes,
it truly does.
Absolutely, and that's how I felt. But I also was torn between, I would love a break, but I can't have a break.
Because you put pressure on yourself.
I've got clock ticking and it's not going to work. And so at this point I was like, that's it. I'm going to start taking control. I see all these women talking about advocating for yourself and fighting and question your doctor. And I'm like, I can't even get an appointment with my doctor for 3 months. I want to get a second opinion. So I said to my husband, I don't care how much it costs. I booked four specialists that one within our clinic that I had heard great reviews of, and I was like, okay, I'll book in with her. She was absolutely beautiful and amazing. I booked two within one of the big private clinics, and I just thought, maybe we have to go private. Maybe we have to start testing our embryos. I don't know. But then I also had my gut feeling saying, we've only done one cycle. Like, I feel like we need to have a numbers game, but we need a doctor that's going to maybe change things or review things or guide us, but maybe not necessarily testing at this point. So we had four consults with different doctors, and one from another bulk bill, and this is where our journey changed. So we met Dr. Charlie, and I'll have to add that my husband went to all of these appointments and walked out going, whatever you decide, honey, I'm on board. But when we walked out of Dr. Charlie, he walked out going, he's the gun. He's going to fight for us.
He's the one.
That's who we're going with. And I was like, oh, but what about, you know, the private? Like, he's like, no. No options. This is where we're going. And I was like, okay. And Charlie was phenomenal. So I was in a period of time where Charlie needed to get us on the books and, like, across to his clinic.
And he's a bulk build clinic.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a process, and there's still that nurse orientation he was going to try and see if we could skip. So he was going to do his end, but he was still there to guide me through my next cycle.
Wow.
So I did my fifth embryo. It failed. And I booked in with my current specialist for 3 months. We must have had a month or two break over the Christmas New Year. I feel like that might have been the 1 month cycle where we stopped and we did all these consults, because I feel like we didn't start with Charlie till March 2021 and we had done one more cycle at our old clinic after our fifth failed. So we do another cycle at our clinic under Charlie's direction, which I loved. He was like, yeah, oh, you do this. You speak to her. He knew our other specialist as well. And he's like, you tell her this, you do this. And in the meantime, we'll start you over our side. You really need to be banking embryos. We need to be doing double transfers, like, you know. And I was like, whoa, okay.
And this is the first time you're really getting, like, a lot of feedback and...
feedback,
detail,
advice,
information.
Yep.
Yeah.
And in the midst of it, he's, like, sending me off for bloods as well. He's like, I want a recap of all these bloods and I want all these extra bloods. And I was like, whoa, okay. So we're on board. I'm also at this point doing the immune protocol. So I'm doing...
Intralipids.
After transfer. I'm doing a two-week course of strong antibiotics. I'm doing Clexane. I'm doing
prednisone.
Yep. I'm adding to what we currently get times that I think I was on four pessaries like a day. So yeah. So and steroids.
Yeah.
So it was a whole heap of stuff that was new, but I'd read about it, and you know. Certain doctors are like, nah, certain doctors are for it. It's very, again, taboo, but I was at a point of chucking the kitchen sink at everything. Like, I didn't care. I'll try it all. So we did our second cycle with our old clinic, and basically at this point we got 23 eggs, 12 fertilised, and then we had this unheard of day one freeze. And I was like, what do you mean day one freeze? We're going to freeze all 12 at day one. And
why?
I'm like,
I've never heard of that.
Never heard of it.
I don't get it.
So I rang Charlie frantically. Charlie, this is what they're doing. And he's like, yeah, that's no clinic in the world does that.
Yeah.
And he was mortified and shocked. He's like, ring your specialist back. Ask her, because you're doing the immune protocol and you're going through so much medication in a leading up to transfer day.
Mm.
You can't just show up and be told that nothing made it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
To day five. So I fought with the embryologist at my old clinic. I had a few conversations, also with the fertility specialist, and she was amazing. So she said, yeah, because you got 12 fertilised, which is huge, we're going to split. Six will freeze at day one and six will grow. And I'm like, okay. I still didn't understand it.
I don't understand it.
I couldn't fight any more than I could. And at this point, I was kind of already, like, jumped ship, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, if this month doesn't work, we're going to Charlie anyway next month. So I'll just run its course. So anyway, we did our sixth transfer with our old clinic on the immune protocol, which was, I think, our second or third month on the immune protocol as well. So quite taxing at this point. And again, it failed. So we moved.
Hmm.
And Charlie was just the clinic was like just you couldn't compare.
Balls apart.
Yeah, both bulk bills. If anything, I think Adora is cheaper.
Quicker wait times.
Definitely quicker wait times. None of the red tape that I was seeing going on in my old clinic. Who knows, times may have changed, but yeah, at the time it was really a lot of women were not getting their cycle started because they had too many bookings, so they'd cancel. We capped it every month, and so there were all these things that were going on, but we moved, so we were happy. We had a month off in between our move because we had to move to Charlie, and it was the first time that we got told to try naturally while doing IVF.
Wow.
And I was like, what? I signed papers saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And Charlie's like, yeah, you're not the standard, you know, like you're of age that the odds are stacked up so against you to fall pregnant with IVF that we're going to try all avenues and you should be trying naturally. So it was just nice to get someone that actually catered to us, right?
Mm.
So based on our history, Charlie had a game plan. He wasn't too sold on the immune protocol, but supported it and said, I feel you. You're at this point. We're chucking the whole house at it. So we were ready to do. He got the sign off on doing double transfers, which is something that has to be signed off because obviously they can't be seen to be putting us in danger with multiple pregnancies. So doing two embryo transfers is a lot of over 40s do it, but it's not so common. So that was our plan. But then I started to notice that I was doing so many ultrasounds. I remember on my page where I met you putting up my date with Wanda, and I felt like I was always dating Wanda. But... yeah, just crazy. So I think this is where we may have met.
Yeah.
Leading up to.
Because I started my page, my IVF page, in 2021. I think you did also.
Yeah, so I did mine in March 21. And I believe we met in my first cycle
and
with
I just
Charlie
finished
in
the
May.
Cycle
yes.
With my private clinic.
Yep.
And you were always posting about where you were up to. And then I think we, started following each other. In.
I think you were looking at changing from memory.
Yes, I just finished a failed cycle. And that's when I got the advice about doing a surgery and then going back to IVF if it didn't work.
That's right.
That's right, yes.
And then you were looking at potentially going bulk bill.
Yes.
And I remember you putting up my old clinic. And I was awkwardly like, ooh. And then I remember... I think you messaged me about it because I had said I'd been there.
I think I was asking for advice about
yeah.
had anyone been with
yes.
them, give
yes.
me some advice.
And even to the
feedback.
Point of my fertility specialist. So
yes.
I was like, so of course my heartstrings were like, oh. And I remember so clearly sitting next to hubby saying, oh, this beautiful girl on my page has reached out about our old specialist. And... you know, Instagram community has been amazing and we all share things.
Mm.
But it's also that, like, you know, we're not medics. I can't tell you what to do. Like, I'm not a professional. And so there was this feeling of I want her to steer clear, but I also want her to explore, like, and make her own decisions. So I said to hubby, what do I do? How do I tread gently to say alarm bells run? But... you know, and hey, Charlie's amazing. Go try him. So I think I went down the rabbit hole of, Lucy, look, we had this experience, not to say that you would have the same, but we also then saw these other three doctors and we're now with Charlie and I would recommend, I think I remember telling you, I would recommend seeing four or five that
yes,
you
did say that.
You pick and... just go with what your gut feeling. But this was my experience with my old clinic.
Yeah, you gave me the facts.
Yeah.
Which I needed to hear. I wanted to hear that. That's why I was asking for the advice. And I'm so happy you did recommend Charlie because I took that advice on.
Yeah.
But before then, we'll just catch up to speed with my story. So I started thinking about, I got married in 2016, my husband, and then we discussed trying for a baby in 2018. I was on Depo-Provera, which is a birth control method, which is an injection you take every 3 months. And I was on that not for birth control, but more so to manage the pain I would get with my cycles.
Yep.
But I'd been to the doctors many times and they recommended this approach because it would take away my cycle, which would take away the pain, and it did.
And this was ongoing chronic, right?
Yeah, since I was like my first ever cycle. But absolutely. I was always told it's absolutely normal. Take some Panadol, you're fine.
Yep.
So I just parked that. With Depo-Provera though, I stopped taking it in 2018. It does, they did warn me it can take a little while to get your cycle back because my cycle completely disappeared and I was on it for a couple of years. So yeah, it took actually 9 months to get it back. Normally it's like 3 or 6, but yeah, it was 9 months.
Wow.
Actually went to a TCM doctor and done acupuncture and that's how I got it back. So got it back, so we're like, yay, we can start trying. It's been 9 months of wanting to try.
Yep.
We can finally start trying.
But that's hard too, right?
Yeah.
So you've had to want to try, but on hold, in essence.
Exactly.
On that's hold right. A whole pregnancy, yeah. Really.
Yeah, because I'm waiting every month to get it.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated. I'm like, it's almost a year, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I finally got it back. I remember on holidays in Europe, I finally got it. I was in so much pain, but I was so excited. We can start trying in Europe.
Yep.
And I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to name the baby after the city we're in.
Oh, bless.
So naive. So naive.
Oh, but so normal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But the thing was, my body took a long time to get back to normal cycles. I was having a cycle every 2 weeks and then every 8 weeks. It was just out of whack. My hormones were very out of whack.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Now that we know so much that we
know.
Exactly. Our cycles are just, yeah, so, wow.
So that took us to 2020 when my cycle finally got into like a normal sort of regular 28 days. I think I'm normally 26, 27 days.
Yep.
And that's when I started to really take it seriously. And I started tracking ovulation. I had the ovulation sticks. I started having the pomegranate juice, doing some research, like I was just determined.
I didn't even know about the pomegranate juice till well later on.
Oh,
I was
really?
Like, yep, but nah, isn't it funny?
Anyway, so after like maybe 6 to 9 months of like nothing, it was probably a year actually of just trying naturally. I was like, oh, I'm a patient, you know, I'm a planner. I want to know what's happening. And all my friends around me, I feel like month one, they were pregnant. So I was like, why isn't it happening for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in the back of my mind, I always had this feeling my body had this absolute horrible pain that just didn't feel right. Like, you're in pain when you have an injury. It just felt like that every single month. But I was having it more than just around my cycle. It was in and out of my cycle as well. So anyways, went to the GP, me and my husband, because I was only about 29, 30 at this stage. I got ultrasound, blood test, and George had a semen analysis.
Yeah.
Everything came back completely normal. You guys are healthy. Keep trying. We'll see you in a couple of months when you're pregnant. Nothing happened. I was starting to get really, like, upset now.
Yeah.
Every time when I got my cycle, I was thinking, okay, I'm confused. Like, we're healthy. Everything's normal. Why isn't it happening? And I thought it was maybe just, like, me stressing. Stressing about trying to get pregnant. Maybe I'm too stressed.
Because that's the thing, hey? Relax. Go on a holiday.
So frustrating.
Don't stress.
So frustrating. So, yeah, went back to the GP, like, a little more frustrated, upset, and I just said, look, nothing's happening. Like, what am I doing wrong? What can you do for us? All the tests are normal. And that's when my GP referred us to see a fertility specialist. She didn't speak about IVF. I didn't even really think about IVF. I just thought, okay, fertility specialist, someone that knows about fertility. Maybe we can just dig a little bit deeper and try maybe a medication or something, I don't know, a pill or something like that.
Yep.
So anyway, the doctor referred us 3 different specialists to try. I done my research on all of them.
Oh, you're good.
I had to. I picked the one. She was actually one of the number one doctors in New South Wales for fertility. So I picked her, private clinic in the city. You know, I wanted the best of the best. She was the director of the company. So we made an appointment. 6 weeks later, it was COVID times. It was, January 2021, we had our first appointment. And it was over Zoom. we couldn't go in face-to-face at this time.
Yeah.
And it was 10 minutes into COVID. An appointment.
That's another.
She was talking about needles and she's showing us how to inject it. Oh, I was just so overwhelmed. I was like, what?
Wow.
So she recommended to go straight into IVF. She did ask about my history of my cycle. Mm-hmm. She said, yep, you're definitely ovulating because you're getting a regular cycle. I told her about the pain. She said, you may have something called endometriosis. And this is the first time a doctor or anyone has ever said that to me.
Yep.
So I was like, okay. She goes, but I recommend going ahead with the cycle. So we planned for a cycle. However, I ended up actually getting a stomach ulcer from taking too much pain medication for my
That's right. I remember that.
And the thing with a stomach ulcer is you kind of need to recover. I think it took about 8 weeks to recover. I was on a medication for that, anti-acid medication.
Yeah, and you need to heal.
Yeah, so I needed to heal, so I got that out of the way because obviously I don't want to fall pregnant with a stomach ulcer.
Absolutely.
You know? Done the right thing, waited, and we booked our first cycle. She said, I tested my AMH as well, by the way. Sorry, I forgot to mention that, with the GP.
Mm-hmm.
And it was normal for my age. It was actually a little bit above average.
Great.
And I done a few scans, and a normal cycle I had 8 follicles on one side and 8 on the other side. So 16 follicles normal,
great.
Right? Yeah. So she put me on a normal dose of medication. It was Gonal F150.
Yep.
And then one trigger shot. Anyways, the first scan.
I love you remember that.
Yeah, it's always stuck in my mind. The first scan, I was watching a lot of, like, YouTube channels on, you know, girls doing IVF.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I wanted to educate myself.
Absolutely.
And learn about it. And everyone I watched got, like, 25, 38. So I was expecting that, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I have good numbers.
Yep.
I'm young. I'm going to get easy. So many eggs. I'm so excited for my first scan. And I walk in there and she counted 8 on one side, 8 follicles. And then she went to the other side and it was silent. And she's like, oh, there's none on this side. I was like, that's really strange. How come one ovary isn't working? Like a normal cycle that would happen, right?
Without
IVF. Like
one
would drop an egg, one
doesn't,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyways, and then from there throughout the cycle, I was just like so down. I was so negative. I didn't think it was going to work. We got a few more days in. We had a few more scans. And then we had the call from the nurse saying, okay, egg collection is going to be in 48 hours. Take a trigger shot. We're expecting 4 eggs.
Wow.
Max. Because only some of my follicles were growing the right
side. Yeah,
that's
right.
Even though I had 8,
yeah.
Only had, I think, one lead follicle and a few others a little bit behind. So took my trigger shot. It was 11 p.m. at night. I remember that time, and then my appointment was 11 a.m. not the next day but the following day, because
yes, that's right. Yep.
Anyway, so nervous because I had never been under or had a procedure or anything like that, so I was so nervous.
I cried for my first egg collection too.
Oh my
petrified.
God.
Maybe even for all of them.
I was so scared. Actually I remember this. I said, I don't want to be put under, I want the green whistle, because that was an option with our clinic.
It was.
I volunteered for the green whistle. However,
put me to sleep.
Last minute, my fertility specialist said, we're not doing the green whistle. We're actually going to put you under, because something about my ovary, there was something hidden, or I don't know how they said it in medical terms. So I was like, that's fine. So I went in. They
you
said
poor
to me,
thing,
we're
going to
put you
petrified.
Under. I was. We're going to put you under, however, we're only going to give you a very low dose. You're going to be more sort of tweaky.
Twilight, yeah.
Yes.
Twilight, yeah.
So I went in, and I actually remember them saying, I felt no pain, because obviously I think they numb you. I remember them counting eggs, and I was so excited. They got up to 2, and I fell asleep.
Oh, wow.
But I really wasn't
awake.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, I remember it.
I was so nervous that they're like, let's just give her a little bit more.
I wish, because it's the best.
Wow, that's so good that you got to hear that.
Yeah, it was really cool, actually. Really cool. So I got wheeled into the recovery room, and I said, how many eggs? And they said, we've got 4. I was so excited we got 4, because I was thinking, if that's the max we can get, we hit the max. You know, I was so optimistic. I was just happy with that number.
Well, you're amazing.
And they said, okay, so expect a call tomorrow with the fertilization report, and then day 5 update, and then we'll get you to come in for a fresh transfer day 5. Anyways, we went home, and I was over the moon because I finally got foot under. I'd done it. The cycle was over. I was just so excited to move on.
And also, you're at this point having to take time off work.
Yeah,
and
I took
instant,
2 weeks off.
Right? Like,
yes.
Oh, okay, so you took, yeah. But it's also just that factor that in a drop of a hat, you don't know when anything's happening. So
yes. That's
so you're then having to juggle your life outside of this too.
Yeah, that's right.
Did work know?
I did tell my manager.
Yep.
And also I told another manager as well, but I didn't really tell anyone else. So I told a few work friends, but I was kind of embarrassed for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I was embarrassed about it that I needed IVF, so I didn't really tell anyone.
Yep.
So anyway, the next morning, they told me to expect a call from, I think, 9:30, 10 onwards.
Yep.
So we woke up and my husband said, oh, can I go to the gym? It was like 7 a.m. I was like, yeah, go gym. Come back. We'll get the call. We'll listen to it together. Because, you know, you always get a fertilization report and normally it's, you know, that's the first call. So normally it's quite positive and then it can sort of dwindle down from there, right?
Yep, true.
So I made my coffee. All of a sudden I had the worst feeling in the world. And my phone was ringing. It was the clinic. It was 7:30 in the morning. I'm thinking,
wow.
Shit, why are they calling me so early? You know, I'm probably the first results. Why are they calling me at 7:30? They told me to expect a call at 9:30. And you know how they say, okay, what's your name? Your date?
Yeah.
I said it so
you're
fast.
Like, just, like, you're like,
me.
Just talk to me.
Of course, me, you know. No one else has got my phone. It's me. And then she
you're
said, unfortunately, out of the 4 eggs collected, only one was mature. 3 were immature. And the one that was mature didn't fertilize. And I just remember, and she said to me, I was just devastated. I think I was really silent. And she said to me, is your husband home? And of course he wasn't home. He was at the gym.
Yeah.
But I just lied and said, yes, he was. Because I just wanted to get off the phone.
Yeah,
in that
you
moment,
think.
I just
you
didn't
just wanted
want to talk.
To...
I didn't want to ask questions.
Yep.
I just wanted to be alone
yep.
to process what she had said. Because I wasn't expecting that. I didn't even think that could happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I didn't know that could be an outcome. So anyways, husband, I called him because I didn't want to wait for him to get home. Called him, told him. And I just remember being so sore from the procedure and thinking, this is just so unfair. Like, I just had the procedure. Give me a few days.
Yeah.
To get over the procedure first and then give me an update. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. IVF doesn't allow that, though.
No.
Everything's go, go, go. It's got its timeline. And if you're not on board, too bad. Like,
yep, that's right. It was a Sunday when this happened, and I remember my fertility specialist called a few hours later to give some more detail, and she just said, look, your eggs were very red in colour. I still don't really know what that means.
Wow.
So, yeah. She wanted to give that detail, and me, knowing me, I just said, what's the next steps? Because I just want to plan.
Yeah,
I don't want to dwell too much
that
on
was
that
me.
Moment.
Yeah, and yeah, what does that, like you said, what does that mean and what can you do about it?
Yeah,
like,
and what's the next step?
Yeah,
because
the next steps,
I don't want to focus on what's just happened. I just want the next plan so I can focus on that.
Absolutely.
And she said, look, I can recommend one of two things. We can go into another round back-to-back, or we can explore your period pain and I can recommend you an endometriosis surgeon. So I wasn't willing to go into another back-to-back round just with the outcome.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to explore my pain because I've always been curious about the pain anyway.
Yeah, and obviously learning about endometriosis as well when you've never heard of it and you've...
Yeah, so I made a appointment with my endometriosis surgeon, or a endosurgeon, who's also in the IVF industry. Actually worked at the same clinic, so it was an easy referral.
Yeah, that's great.
I made an appointment with him. It was face-to-face. We spoke
was
about
the surgery at their day clinic?
No, at
so it would
Saint
be privately.
Vincent, private. Yeah, it was private.
Okay.
And the good thing was, so he seen me and he said, you have a 70% chance of having endometriosis. He goes, I won't know until we go,
explore.
I'm going to do the surgery and explore. Yeah, exactly. But it does sound like you have it. So he was really good. He actually said, you can book in straight away with me because it was private. I got an appointment within a couple of weeks. And I was excited about that because I just wanted the next step right away.
Plus, if that was something that was an issue,
yeah.
that gave you more insight, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If this is the reason we're not falling pregnant, like, let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Had the surgery booked in. Wasn't as nervous this time because I've done the egg collection.
Yeah, I'm a veteran now.
Yeah. Anyway, the surgery went well. You obviously don't get the results straight away as in recovery, and he came to see me. He's a lovely surgeon, Michael Cooper, his name is, Dr. Michael Cooper. Came to see me and he said, look, you do have endometriosis. We got most of it out. You also have, and I can never say this properly, adenomyosis.
Oh, yes, I remember when you found that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, wow, another factor. Yeah, piece to the puzzle that just throws another spanner.
Yeah, it does. Throws another spanner. So,
and it's not curable, right?
No. Or adenomyosis is. If you take out your uterus, it's gone because that disease is actually in the uterus. Endo is not curable.
Right, okay. Yeah. But you can't take a uterus out to have a baby, so
that's what I meant.
It wasn't a solution.
Yes. There's no solution there.
Yeah, there was no solution from a fertility perspective. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His advice was go home and try naturally for 3 to 6 months.
Wow.
If nothing happens, because he said, I actually have a 50% chance. Now the endometriosis is
gone. They say there's a high increase of fertility. That's right.
I was so hopeful and so excited. Oh. I thought, it is going to happen naturally. This was our issue. It's fixed now.
Yep.
Let's move forward and fall naturally. However, he said if it does not work, then you need to go back to IVF to fall pregnant.
Good guidance, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where were you at? Because this was May 2021. Where were you at this time?
So May 2021, I was in that pivoting point. So like I said, Charlie was still sort of assisting me from the background, and we had found our champion. But I was still with my old clinic, and I was in the midst of this final transfer with the old clinic. So it was, if this transfer works, you're pregnant, I support you, that's all I want. And that was what stuck with us, is that we have this doctor from another clinic that was like, Yael, I just want you pregnant. I don't care where it happens. And I remember him saying that to me. And he even rang me on the phone, and I remember thinking, saying to Luan, like, this guy rang my mobile. like who's this famous guy all of a sudden ringing me? Like, it was just bizarre because we had zero contact with our old fertility specialist, and all the contact was the nurses in the clinic. But then we have this fertility specialist that we're not even literally signed on the books yet, or however you call it. But he's calling, and I'm like, wow. So anyway, he was just so genuine in his pursuit to having us pregnant no matter how it happens. So off we went and did this last frozen with the old clinic. And we still had those unknown day ones, and God knows what. I still to this day don't know what I have at that old clinic.
Wow.
But we did our last frozen there. Now, I was also, you know how you get so knowledgeable with IVF that you can, okay, so if I do the transfer on this day will be the day I confirm I'm pregnant, right?
Mm.
And so I've looked at the calendar, and I'm a May baby, so my birthday, my 42nd birthday was coming up, and of course my bloods were the day before my birthday. So on top of normal hope, I was like, oh, this would be the best birthday present. It's going to happen. And hubby joined on the bandwagon. Yeah, and
extra pressure.
Yeah. But in like, yeah, pressure, we all put, yeah, exactly. We all put this extra pressure on top of the pressure that's already there. And it was just like this feeling in my gut, it's going to happen. It's going to be it.
It's meant to be. Yeah. The day before your birthday, how can it not be? It's
absolutely.
Perfect.
And so I was like, but it's going to be 50-50, right? It's either going to work or it's not. Mm. So I was like, if it doesn't, I'm going to be shattered. And I got to a point before infertility, like before this journey, I loved my birthday. Birthdays were, like, I loved it. One day a year that it's all about you and, you know, it's fun. And I know some people, like, hate their birthdays, but I loved my birthday. And I never always thought I was young at heart, and I never really felt old. But IVF and trying to conceive kicked in, and all of a sudden all I was told was I was old.
Mm.
So this birthday was like daunting on me, knowing that the day before I'm going to find out what it, yeah, the day, it was the day before I'm going to find out whether we've whether
you're
this last
yep,
yeah. whether this last transfer stuck or not. And of course we got that phone call, like you said, don't ask me my date of birth or any of the other
yeah.
information, just tell me if I'm pregnant
yes
or not.
No,
yep.
That's it, yeah.
And I was shattered. Then I got offered the counsellor, do you want to speak to a counsellor? And I was like, no, like you, I just want to get off the phone.
Yeah.
And I cried so much. I think I even, and at this point, I was a couple of months into our page, our Instagram pages, right? So there was this beautiful community, and there was all these beautiful women that were in the same boat, and all this love and support. And I think I remember doing a story and crying, like,
yes,
absolutely.
I remember replying to that story.
Beside
you were devastated.
Yeah.
You were crying. You were giving everyone an update.
Yeah, giving
yeah.
my update, but bawling, and I was
yes.
just raw, and all I could be was raw because there was just no way of hiding the pain. So I was just shattered. I was beside myself. We were so upset. And the next day, I think, was either a weekend or I had the day off, one of the two. And I may have preempted the day off in the worst case scenario because
that's smart.
Yeah. And I'm always one of those, like I said, I love birthdays. So I want to go to work. I don't want to stay home by myself while hubby's at work. And like, unless we plan, have the birthday off together, I'm like, I want to be at work. We do cake. We do, you know, it's exciting. So anyway, I had the day off and hubby decided he had to take me retail therapy shopping and like absolutely spoil me rotten because he just knew that I was at breaking point.
Mm.
The only thing that kept us going was Charlie, right? At this point we had Charlie. So that's kind of where we were at May.
Mm. And then what happened from there?
So from there we went on to we wrapped up that clinic. I didn't tell them.
Okay.
And
did
I
even follow up?
I felt like I was cheating on someone,
yeah.
right? So no follow up. And I said to Charlie, like, can I like start with you but be there? And he's like, look, we had to wait 30 days because Medicare. Yeah, and I didn't understand it, but then I realised it made sense when he explained it, and I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, you really can't cheat on your clinic, right? So you can't be at two clinics at once, and really, you can't cycle twice in the 1 month, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So we took that month off, and it was more about just sort of letting go and getting ready to start again. Yeah, then we started, we had our chats with Charlie, we didn't have to do the nurse orientation, we had a game plan, we were going to do back-to-back cycles and
bank embryos,
and he wanted to know, you know, he was very shocked at the day ones, and he's like, how do you even know what quality they are, like what grading, not that, you know, you can 100%, you know, and you hear grading means nothing and whatnot, but still, day ones mean absolutely nothing, right? Like, what's a day one if they don't make it to day five or day three, or like if they don't make it? So Charlie was like happy to bank embryos, and I didn't know, can we transfer our old embryos? He's like, let's just start here and we'll look at all of those avenues later. But he's like, I want to get the ball rolling and, you know, all speeds ahead. So I'm like, okay. At the same time, we had a month to try naturally and also work with our immunologist as well was still on board. So he put us on, oh, I can't remember the medication. What's the medication to produce more? It starts
menopause?
With an L.
Letrozole?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
That's a pill.
No, so, yes.
Yeah, I was on that too.
Yeah. So I was on that for a natural cycle, like to try. And obviously in that month it didn't work. But so we were just ready to go with Charlie. Then we did our fourth cycle. No, our third cycle, sorry. We did our third cycle with Charlie. and we did, we got 15 eggs and ended up with 2 day 5 frozen. But I also ended up freezing those because Charlie then found that my lining, so I've woken up, like you said, you wake up, you find out how it all went, and the first thing that the actual doctor came to me, so at the bulk bill clinic, just to give you a bit of background, you don't get your fertility specialist for the egg collection, right? So you get whoever's on roster. And you like to hope for Charlie, but you don't get Charlie.
No.
Same for transfer.
I haven't had him.
No. But so the doctor came up and said, I've spoken to Charlie. He wants you on this medication. We're going to do a freeze all. Your lining's too thin. And I'm like, lining's too thin. Oh, okay. And at this point, I'm like, lining's too thin. And I knew nothing about lining.
Mm.
I heard it being thrown around with other people, lining's being too thin, and other girls, you know, talking about it. So I knew that much. But I just assumed mine was okay because I hadn't been told it wasn't.
Yeah, hadn't heard this before.
Yeah. So off I go on this new journey of lining, and obviously all the girls on the amazing IVF Instagram community that we have were giving me loads of knowledge, and then we spoke with Charlie, and he's like, look, your lining's really thin, so I'm not putting an embryo in, fresh or frozen, to a thin lining. I think it was 4 point something.
What's the recommended? Is it 7?
7's the recommended, but Charlie said, look, 6 I would consider for you, but yeah, 7 or 8 ideal. But we were on the much lower end. So we did a freeze all, so which was fine. We froze the 2 embryos and off we went. And that was when I said, Charlie, we're going to do a back-to-back, right? We're banking. And he's like, absolutely. So we're just going to go again. So it was an intense 2 months, because at the same time as doing Charlie's back-to-back, which I've never done before, I'm still doing the immune stuff. So I'm on and off steroids and the antibiotics and the Clexane. At this point, you don't do the intralipids till after transfer. So luckily no intralipids, but yeah, just intense medication.
Full time.
Yeah, full time. And just, I remember being constantly, you know, I had moon face from all the steroids and just puffy.
You're moody from the hormones?
I think I was just moody from the journey, right?
Yeah.
Like, so how do you differentiate?
Feeling burnt out.
Yeah.
If you're doing back to back, I always thought, I don't know how you're doing back to back cycles.
Yeah.
It's so taxing. Like emotionally, physically, but especially emotionally.
Yeah, emotionally taxing. And again, just still upset that I had another birthday clock under my belt. So at this point, I had a lot of fear of maybe motherhood's not for me.
Yeah.
And that was a real deep fear. We had a lot of external stresses as well. And I remember my husband having to tell family, like, yeah, I was kind of fragile now. You need to back off with your stuff. Like...
Mm.
And, yeah, she just needs to, like, focus. This year, we're spending this year on having a baby, nothing else. Like, so it was intense. So then we do our 4th cycle. And at this point, we, on paper, our 4th cycle was probably our best cycle. 15 eggs collected, 8 fertilised. And 7 embryos. I remember being absolutely shocked with these results.
Was this different medication?
Charlie had me on the higher end. So when you were talking about the gonolef and all your measurements and you remembered it, it reminded me of my old clinic just had me on the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember all these other girls that had years up their sleeve ahead of us in our journey would tell me, what dose are you on? And what's and I'm like, oh, I don't, like, this is it. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe they should up it. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know, like, to question, right? But I do remember from what the knowledge I did gain after was that I was in a very standard low dose at the old clinic. And I responded well, so I can understand why there was no change, plus there was no follow-up to change, so it's a bit hard. But Charlie was like, nah, maximum. So he put me on a high dosage. I think it was...
Menopause?
I was on that too, yeah. And the gonorrhea left, does 450 sound right?
I was on 150, so about... Yeah,
yeah, 450 I think
does.
450. I think it was... I was, like, shocked.
I think 350 is, like, a quite...
Yeah, I think
number,
I was 250 at the old clinic, and I think it was like 450, and I was like, whoa, we're like doubling the game here. So it was quite high dose as well, and I remember feeling, and I think I remember even posting, looking 7 months pregnant. I was so bloated. Yeah. So after egg collection, I felt quite good, and then I deteriorated quick and ended up in emergency with OHSS.
Wow.
And even for... the ED to not know anything about it. They're checking me for a heart attack because I kept talking about these pains that were like heartburn. And I just assumed I've just come off the back of, you know, having egg collection and we had good numbers.
Yeah, the best you've had.
And they even warned me. I got the warning from the nurses after it. Look, this is what you need to do and, you know, be cautious and mindful of it. And so I remember ringing the nurses, the 24-hour line, and they're like, yep, this is what we suspect it is. If you feel really bad, go to emergency. So we got further along and I felt really, really bad and off I went. And I was so sore and so bloated, which then caused the heartburn, which then caused the pain. Anyway, so... I went through a whole heap of stuff at the hospital and they were pretty good and then they sent me home. I was fine. They eased the pain and I was much better. But yeah, that in itself was just like awful to recover from.
What does it stand for? Over hyperstimulated?
Yeah, syndrome. Yeah,
syndrome.
Yeah, that's it. So
side effects of IVF drugs can be.
Yeah, can be. And I think, like you said, the more, the higher the dose, the more stimulation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so the more... chances of you, and also they tend to, I've noticed they tend to warn you when you've collected a higher number of eggs. I think it's over eight, anything over over eight or 12, they give you a warning to keep an eye out for it when you're after you've done your egg collection. So we got warned when we had the 23 eggs and it didn't happen, but then it happened on this cycle. So
because I don't want my phone to die.
Yeah, so that was kind of our fourth cycle. Definitely over the moon for 7 embryos. Definitely needed to recover from the OHSS. And I think, from memory, and I could be wrong, I think I had to take a month off because of it. Oh, no, actually, I think some clinics make you, and Charlie was like, no, we're sweet to go next month. Transfer. And I was like, oh, okay. But he was more concerned about my lining. So at this point, we figured out my lining was an issue. So cycle 3 and 4, both times my lining was bad.
Do you suspect that was always the issue from the other clinic as well?
So the interesting thing was, I started to learn that when I did a frozen transfer or anything with Charlie and Adora, we were having ultrasounds all through your cycle. So you're doing bloods and ultrasounds,
normal.
Right? At my old clinic, for all frozen transfers, and I don't know why, there was never an ultrasound.
Wow.
You just did your bloods. You actually tested ovulation at home on a stick. You used to...
What?
Pee on a stick, and then you did 2 or 3 bloods. There was one cycle I missed because they missed my ovulation, which I remember thinking, how can you miss that? So I ovulated early. I naturally ovulated a little bit early. So from then on, they learnt that, you know, get me in, I think, day 8 and start the bloods. And then they send you home, and soon as you'd send photos of the... It was like a
COVID
test. Yeah, it was exactly like a COVID test. And you'd send a photo and they'd be like, oh, not quite. And they'd be always panicking that they were going to miss. But anyway, I never had an ultrasound. So I went into 6 frozen transfers with no idea of my lining. The only time they ever checked my lining was the very first time in our very first cycle on our fresh transfer that worked but miscarried. But
you can't check that with the blood test.
You can't, yeah. So, no.
Yeah.
So, absolutely mortified to find out that we spent a whole year and 6 embryos that were potentially in a lining that just wasn't thick enough to hold an embryo. And look, we'll never know, right? And I always say, like, who knows? Is that the missing piece of the puzzle? I think it's a huge piece, yes. Our embryos weren't tested. Could they have not been normal? It's quite common of age as well. Like, so there's so many variables, as you and I both now know.
Yeah.
And there's so many pieces to the puzzle that all need to be right. But, yeah. So anyway, Charlie found that, and then I went on a medicated, for the very first time, medicated frozen transfer. We did it in the month of July, so I do believe...
July 2021.
Yep, July 2021. In the thick of COVID.
Well, yeah, it really was. We're in lockdowns, right? At home.
Yep, in and out of lockdowns. Yeah, LGAs, all of it. So in the thick of all that, we were doing IVF. Like, you know, that's normal, isn't it? So a lot of appointments. We did Zoom chats with Charlie, like you said, as well. You know, Zoom became a thing. So we go into this frozen transfer in July, and it was our 7th embryo. 7's a lucky number for me, so I thought this could be good.
Okay, so you're hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful. We've got Charlie on our side. We've now figured out my lining. He's got me on estrogen patches. He's also medicated my cycle, so I'm back to injections for a frozen, which I'd never done. It was always natural, so I was like, whoa. And I even had a trigger shot, and I'm like, I was so confused. I'm like, am I triggering to egg collect, or am I transferring? What am I doing? But I was just like trusting Charlie and going with it. So 31st of July, we got the all clear. There was a pivoting point that my lining still wasn't amazing. And Charlie was like, look, it was, I think, it was borderline 6. He's like, we're talking a mil, Yael. I'm not going to roll the dice for a mil. I think we go for it. Like, it's really neither here or there. I was wanting it to get to 6, and it was like 5.9 or something. He's like, it's not a big issue. Let's go. So we got the green light, and our transfer was the 7th transfer on the 31st of July. And yeah, we spent the two week wait being super hopeful, praying. But then there was also a part of me that's like, we've only just started with Charlie. We've banked embryos. We now have 9 in total with Charlie and 8 in the freeze.
Probably also protecting yourself in a way too.
Yeah, and I thought, surely this can't work. But also trying to, like, hold space for hope to keep going. And I think that's definitely what gets all of us girls through this journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be hope, otherwise you don't go, right? You don't keep going. And we got the green light. I forgot to mention, we also were doing double embryos. So, yes.
That's right.
We had 9 altogether, and we put in our 2. And at this clinic, they grade them 1, 2, 3.
I never asked for my grading.
Yeah,
I
and I wish I never asked. Like, I didn't, you know, I was also of the opinion that it's just a visual, right?
Yeah.
So it just, they grade them based on what they look like. And to me, they all looked beautiful. So I was like, they're all amazing. But, I think we had a 1 and a 2 go in, which was considered an A and a B in other clinics world. So we had 2 go in, and I remember transfer, Luan wasn't allowed, and at this point...
So
hard.
Yeah, so hard, so hard. So many things he wasn't allowed. Even all of our miscarriage appointments and stuff like that, like ultrasounds, he wasn't around for the one prior. And yeah, but anyway, it is what it is. But yeah, so I went to transfer. Hubby stayed in the car downstairs, and we got Paul.
Yep,
Dr. Paul,
mm-hmm.
the director. He was there for transfer, and he was just so lovely. And it was in the thick of boosters. I mean, not boosters, COVID vaccines.
Yes.
Do you get it? Do you not? And I remember my husband had just gotten his, so he's like, definitely getting it. We weren't against the COVID vaccination, and totally understand each to their own, but I was very scared going in to a transfer.
Yeah, understandable.
And I had booked my vaccine, so at this point I had already booked it, not knowing that we were going to do a transfer. I had booked it weeks before, and then I looked at the date that I was booked in to go, and it was literally the day after finding out whether our 2-week wait was going to be a yes or a no. So I'm in this predicament, and I'm like, oh my God, let's do our transfer, and I'll ask. And I remember Paul saying, yeah. And I think that was one thing that was really special about Adora. They're all across everyone's cases, so to speak. So he's like, yeah, with your history and your journey, if you were my sister, I would say just wait till you get through the first trimester if you are pregnant after this transfer. And that just stuck with
personal
me.
Advice, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, yes, our clinic's recommending everyone. And the recommendation is you can get the vaccine pregnant, trying to conceive. There's no problem. But he's like, I just think that if you can hold off, if you're already at home for work and isolating and whatnot, hold off. So, yeah. So, anyway, we had a beautiful transfer. Some clinics don't use the ultrasound, and for a lot of my previous transfers, it was hit and miss. One time there'd be an ultrasound guided transfer where you can see them putting the embryo in, and sometimes I'd get nothing and they'd be like, just throw it in, see you later.
Yeah,
and
it is magical seeing that flash.
Absolutely. And so Paul talked me through it, and it was just such a beautiful experience. And the 2-week wait, I tried to be calm. I think I took 2 weeks off work. And I remember thinking, wow, 2 weeks off work, just to relax. And at the end, we got our little miracle. We got our pregnancy, which then turned into, little Olivia, little Livy. So I don't know, what can I say? It does work. It does happen. Charlie's amazing.
He is amazing. Miracle worker.
And number 7 was definitely our number. And it is a numbers game sometimes. But I think looking back, key is just fighting for yourself, and things that don't seem right probably aren't right. Yeah, pushing and fighting. And research. I feel like you and I would never have met if it wasn't for us digging and searching for answers.
Yeah, that's right.
So on top of having my absolutely amazing little girl, I now have a community of so many other like-minded, beautiful people. And I have you.
And I have you.
And we get to do this. Yeah, we get to do this together. So I'm going to pass back to you.
I just want to touch on one last thing.
Yep.
With your, so you transferred to.
Yep.
And then you had your ultrasound.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, I just wanted to
haven't I? So, yes, we go to my ultrasound. And again, COVID, my husband's sitting downstairs in the car. And I'm petrified. 7-week scan, absolutely shaking in my boots. Because, yes, we got the pregnancy. But we also had, I think, HCG. And the good thing about this clinic was it wasn't just pee on a stick and then go to your GP. It was we do your bloods.
Yes.
We call you with your HCG. We call you with your progesterone levels. We give you everything.
All the details, next steps.
Yeah. And we then monitor if we need to and do another blood. Yeah. Like, it's not just
so it's
see
not
you
like,
later.
Okay, yeah, goodbye.
Yeah.
You're with them.
Yeah. Whereas my past experience was, yes, you're pregnant, see you, but no record of HCG. No, I didn't even know that it needs to double. I didn't understand all of that till I had my miscarriage and they were asking me questions about what the levels were and did it double, and I'm like, I don't know, the GP didn't test it, the clinic didn't test it, like, so it was very foreign to then get a phone call with all these numbers, and I'm like, I don't even know what these numbers mean, but okay, is that good? And she's like, yep. And the other thing that was really lovely was Charlie. So I remember saying to the nurse, she didn't congratulate me, and I was like,
they don't do that.
And I was like, oh, so it's good, yeah. And I was like excited, and she's like, yes, it's good, but we'll do your bloods again next week. And I'm like,
very factual.
Okay.
Which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. She's like, we just want to make sure they're doubling. And I'm like, oh, okay. Is Charlie happy? And she's like, Charlie's cautious, you L. Charlie's cautious. And I'm like, oh, okay. Charlie wants to get to the next blood, you L. And I feel like that was just Charlie through my whole pregnancy, right? Let's get to the next week, you L. So we get my next bloods, and at this point my HCG levels are really high, and I had lots of girls going, it could be twins. And
you've done a double transfer.
Yeah. And
so there is a chance.
There is definitely a chance. And then of course I was like, oh my God. And hubby and I were like, well, if it's double, we pack up shop and we're done. Like, a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
This is amazing, because obviously they're separate embryos, so it could easily be a boy and a girl. So we're like, yep, whatever will be, right? So we're still hopeful and happy, and also scared. Maybe we'll have twins. But also we were like, we'll run with it and be overjoyed. So we then get to the dating scan, as you mentioned, and hubby's downstairs in the car. And this time I went to a proper women's
ultrasound
for women's
clinic,
right? Where they are so amazing in comparison to just your imaging place. And no disrespect, but just they deal with the other side. Like, they deal with the bad side, and they know how to deal with that. So I went in, obviously, really nervous, and explained to the sonographer how scared I was and previous miscarriages, and she was just absolutely beautiful. So we did the external at the 7 weeks, or maybe we even went 7 and a bit, just because I was like super paranoid, and I think that was okay. And then we did an internal, and she said to me, you transferred 2 embryos, right? And I was like, yeah, we did a double embryo transfer. And she's like, okay. And at this point I still haven't heard the heartbeat, so I'm like, oh, actually I have to go back. We do the external, and she's asking me if we've done a double, and I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay, I need you to go and empty your bladder. And I go to the bathroom and start bleeding. And at this point, I'm shaking, I'm crying. I've asked if hubby could be on the phone for the rest of it, because I was just beside myself, and obviously he was downstairs and not allowed up. And
traumatic.
Yeah. And so I felt bad for him, actually, because I was so frantic, and he's sitting in a car with a phone, not hearing the whole start.
Yeah.
He's like, what's wrong? Tell me what's wrong. And I'm still, she hasn't even, like, she's just starting the internal. So she hasn't even gotten to find where it's all at. So she's like, yeah. And he's like, just tell me, is everything okay? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm bleeding. And he's like, what? And so we're both freaking out. And then she's like, look, there's a heartbeat. There's definitely a healthy little bubba there. Heartbeat's strong. But there is a second embryo that's implanted, and unfortunately not progressing. And so we were like stunned, like 1 minute over the moon, but then shocked that the double worked, and then sad that the double didn't work, in a sense. So
complex feeling.
Yeah. And I think I was torn by that for the first 6 months of the pregnancy, just going to all the scans. And I absolutely, at this point, rang Charlie's office Charlie is not only a fertility specialist, he's an OB privately. And I'm like, Charlie, I'm staying with you. You need to hold my hand the whole way. I can't do this. And he was absolutely amazing. He let me go visit him every week. I went every week that clocked over. I went to see him for a quick 5-minute scan. He'd squeeze me in between appointments.
Yeah, he's great like that.
Yeah. He's like, whatever you need to do to like minimise your anxiety, L, it will make me feel better. So if you need to come and see Bub, I don't care when. You just call and front
Nothing's
desk.
Too hard.
Yeah. Yep. He was always available, always amazing, and just always empathetic. So that got me through the first 12 months. We were always checking the second embryo, and I didn't understand. They call it a disappearing invisible twin. But over the time, the body just absorbs the baby, but obviously they have to keep checking that little Olivia was growing correctly and measuring, and that it wasn't, you know, causing any other harm. But yeah, so I spent most of my pregnancy in an anxious state, but also a grateful state, but highly anxious, and I didn't actually expect that. I think we spent so long on our journey trying to get pregnant that once we got pregnant, I was like, oh, now what? Like, and I was a bag of mess. And I remember saying to Charlie, I didn't expect to feel so scared. So that was definitely a big thing. But at this point, you were...
So this would have been... I would have been 3 months post my surgery. At this stage, I was very obsessed with trying to fall pregnant naturally. So now that I knew that we had a diagnosis, and George also ended up doing a further semen analysis test, a specialised one to check high DNA fragmentation, which it did come back with high DNA fragmentation in his sperm.
And Charlie did that, right?
No, it was actually, I think we just done it in between.
I think we did it with Charlie.
Yes.
And I mentioned it.
Yes,
maybe.
I heard it somewhere. Yes, someone recommended it and then we got it done.
Yep.
Because this test, a normal semen analysis test can come back normal.
Yep.
However, you can do a detailed.
And
his was fine.
Yep.
However, this was a more detailed
test.
So his came back high. And then Charlie recommended him to take... Menovit and NAC and different
right.
things.
Yes, that's right.
Correct.
Yep. Yep.
But anyway, this was before we met Charlie because I was just recovering from the surgery.
Yep, and I think we had just done it with Charlie.
Yes.
With Luan.
Yes, correct.
And we had never done it, and Luan was like, what do you mean I need to get tested? My swimmers are perfect.
And I started doing a AIP protocol, autoimmune protocol, food-wise.
Yes,
so I went gluten-free, dairy-free, and no added sugars.
Yep.
I came very obsessed with it.
You did amazing. I did gluten-free and dairy-free as well, but you were amazing.
But, you know, I felt so good doing it. I remember I had eczema and hay fever, and it disappeared when I cut everything out. It was extremely hard to do, but I'd done it for quite a long time. I was just so determined, and I wanted to reduce the inflammation in my body because I knew now I had a diagnosis. I just wanted to throw everything at it because I thought, IVF didn't work for me. What if it never works? That was the biggest fear that
Absolutely.
I had. I thought...
And endo is an inflammatory...
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a good recommendation.
Yeah. So we were coming up to the 5th or 6th month of not falling naturally, and I still had pain post-surgery. Like, the pain never went for me, never really disappeared. And that's when I put the post on Instagram, and you said to me, your experience, because I said, I'm thinking of seeing this doctor, your old doctor. You told me your experience, the facts, and then also recommended who you fell with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Charlie thing.
I'd done some research. I made an appointment to see him. It was Zoom. It was Zoom at the stage.
And it was
2022.
Like, you waited probably a week. Yeah.
It was so fast.
I was
like, this is faster than my private clinic to get in to see him.
Absolutely.
And as soon as we met him, like, no waiting or anything like that, when we actually had the appointment, you know, some doctors you wait out, like an hour or longer, and you're already so stressed.
Yes.
And we just had such a good impression with him. I remember wanting to ask him at the end of the appointment, do you have hope for us? But not wanting to ask him because I was like, what if he says no? But he sort of already said to us, I'm hopeful for your next round and looking forward to seeing some good results. And I was like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
I just needed to hear that from a professional. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. And Charlie, like, I think we talk about how lovely he is, but Charlie is so science.
He's so knowledgeable. He's got so much experience.
That's right. So he's not going to, like, he's hopeful, but he's also factual with you too. So he's not going to lead people down just so people don't think we're, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And what he, our appointment, basically, he wanted George to take Menavit for this high DNA fragmentation. And he wanted us to start in a couple of months a new cycle with him. And he also said what he had a plan for the new cycle. He wanted to try a very high dose of medication, a different protocol for us, because he thinks my old one, I was under-medicated.
Right.
Which I never heard that before, but it totally made sense.
Yep, yep.
Because I had, you know, normally 16 follicles. How did I only end up with only one mature egg?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's looking at he was very thorough with his paperwork and he looks at everything.
Yeah,
he
does.
Remembers everything. So he would have looked at all of that and gone, this is
mine. Spent time on it, all the results, So fast forward a couple of months, I ended up getting a iron infusion as well because my iron was a little bit low.
That's right.
So I got that done. And I was feeling really good. I was sticking to the no gluten, no dairy, no added sugars. And then also I'd done nothing deep fried as well, I remember. Yeah. So it was Easter and we started our first cycle. I was on a very high dose. I was on Menopur 300 compared to 150 gonal F and three trigger shots. It was a 10-day cycle. And he said it's going to be a freeze-all because of the high dose of medication. Yeah. I just remember after day one feeling nauseous straight away. I didn't care. I was like, it's the medication. It's obviously working. It's having an effect on my body.
Absolutely.
Which is good.
Yep.
Went in for the first scan, extremely nervous, especially from last time. But the nurse said, okay, yes, you've got good results. I think I had 18 follicles. And I was over the moon. I was so excited. I needed to hear some good feedback to keep me going for the next couple of days.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So we ended up booking in a collection at the hospital in the city. And this time I was put under.
Yep.
I think they're only
it's a
put
standard
you under.
Thing
yeah,
with
standard
them.
Put you under.
Yep.
Bit nervous, woke up and they didn't write it on your hand, did they? They give you a pamphlet.
Yeah, they gave you a card.
Yeah, they gave me a card.
I expected it on my hand,
So woke up, you know that feeling, like you feel good, like that high feeling. And then they collected 9 eggs. I was over the moon.
This is
double what I got last time.
Yep.
And I said to myself, I was thinking I'll probably get 9 or 10 just with the follicle count and all of that. Over the moon.
I remember you were so happy.
I was so excited. But then I was extremely nervous for the next day just because of what happened last time because our issue was fertilization. We had a zero fertilization round. So I was terrified of that happening. And also I connected with a lot of girls online who had that happen to them and then multiple times after that as well.
Yeah.
So I was just scared that was going to be our issue.
Yeah.
So I went for a really long walk that morning with my husband just to stay distracted. And it wasn't a phone call, it was a text, which I much prefer.
Yes.
I don't want to talk to a human being. I just want a text in my own time.
Yes,
I can.
Yes.
If you're at work, you can read it in your own time.
Yeah.
And it said they collected 9 eggs, 8 were mature and 8 fertilized.
Yeah.
And I just remember hugging my husband, jumping up and down,
I remember
and
you sending
happiness.
Me the text.
Yes, I did. I screenshot it.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
I sent it to you. And then we had to wait another, I think it was 6 days because it fell over the weekend.
Yes, that's right.
It
and Adora operate like that. That's right.
Yes.
A Sunday isn't, yes.
So we had to wait another 6 days for the final update on if we had any embryos.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a text. There was, because they basically tell you the whole report. They say 9 eggs collected, 8 fertilized, and how many embryos? And it said 8 embryos.
But then I remember you saying, right, could it be wrong? Is it like, and I did
I was
the same
like
thing.
Shocked. How can, how can we go from 0 to 8?
Yes.
That's unheard of. Like there's an IVF tunnel on how it works, you know, it dwindles down. So I messaged you straight away, and then I called the clinic. I think you said to me, why don't you just call and check?
Yeah, yeah.
So I called the clinic.
Because I had forgotten, because I got the same text, and it says...
And the remaining embryos.
It says embryos frozen, embryos 8, frozen 8, or something like that.
Yes.
And it was a bit cryptic, and you're like, hang on, does that mean they all made it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I think so.
So I called them, and they said yes, and I said, can I just speak to the embryologist? Because I needed some more confirmation.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was super good to be
shock.
True. I was
yeah.
in shock. And the embryologist on the phone said, look, I've never seen results like this, and yes, it's true. And I was like, what?
Yeah, out of this world.
Yeah. And then
Charlie... Because there's always a depreciation, right?
There is. So there always is.
They kind of say it's like a third you end up with.
Yeah, that's
right. You get
right.
15, you go down to...
It dwindles down
half,
each day.
And then it gets to, roughly 4 or 5.
And then Charlie gave a follow-up call, and he said that he's never seen it before either. So,
such a
I just wanted to stay with those results forever. Like, I didn't even want to move to the next stage because I didn't want anyone's disappointment. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
That was
a win.
Yeah, it was a win. So anyway, we ended up, we were going to Europe, and I thought, I don't want to do a transfer before Europe. I just want to go on the holiday and just sort of shake off, like, what we went through as
absolutely.
Well, if that makes sense. Like,
plus, you had 8 embryos
yes,
in the freeze. You were
exactly. That's
I
right.
I can go and take a year off if I want.
So went away. I actually ended up getting sick before I went away. Remember, I got really
sick. Yes,
you
got really bad flu.
Yeah, I got a bad
flu,
which ended up... I had RSV, which ended up on pneumonia just before I went away.
That's
I literally
right.
got cleared to fly the day I left. I remember that.
Yeah, because you were borderline not going overseas.
Yeah. And then... Because I went away for 6 weeks. And then on the plane, I got something else. I got a cold or flu. It was rhinovirus. I ended up finding out what it was, rhinovirus, which resulted in my chronic... I got a chronic lung infection. Because the pneumonia was still dormant in my lungs, so it flared back up.
That's right. And you went and saw specialists and everything.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah,
I do remember that
now. And I was just frustrated because I just wanted to come home and go straight into a transfer, but I couldn't.
Yep.
Like, I was mentally
well, you
ready.
You wanted to be 100% healthy to go into a transfer.
Yeah, that's right. So I ended up doing 4 lots of antibiotics, and I still couldn't clear this infection because I also have asthma. So it flared my asthma, and it was just, my body just wasn't recovering. So I actually ended up seeing a naturopath because a lot of the girls recommended that online.
Yeah.
So I seen a naturopath and it finally cleared. And then we booked a transfer. We got back in August and I booked the transfer for November. Went in. It was unmedicated transfer.
Standard frozen,
yeah. We got to see our embryo for the first time, which was amazing. And then...
So special.
So, so special. And we were just over the moon. Like, that whole process and experience was just so magical, seeing the flash. Go on, dear. It's so nice.
It's the best part of the cycle.
It
right?
is. It is. And just it's making it to that part. Point because you're worried they're going to call you and say your embryo hasn't made it or
I didn't thought.
You know, there's so many steps you need to get to even have a chance. If that makes
absolutely.
Sense. Absolutely. Yeah.
You get to that part and it's just magical.
Yeah. And then I was starting to really enjoy the 2-week wait the first couple of days, and then after that I was just so convinced it didn't work. Because I started to get pain again, the normal pain I get like 2 weeks before my cycle comes.
Yep.
So I was just really negative. I wasn't hopeful. I think I was 99% sure it hadn't worked.
But isn't that crap? That period pain is also pregnancy pain.
Exactly.
And I remember saying that to one of the girls as well. Like,
it's so unfair.
My periods are coming. I was even spotting in my 2-week wait. But
yeah, so was I. I was spotting too. So that's why I thought just everything, all the symptoms.
Yep.
I just felt normal, you know. I actually had less symptoms than normal.
Yeah, yeah.
So I ended up doing... I wasn't going to test, but I ended up doing a test on day 6. I was working from home that day. And I just wanted... I had a lot of meetings booked in, and I just wanted to deal with the result then and there.
Yep.
You know, I thought it was going to be negative, so let's just do a test. I'd done a test, I walked away, I came back, and it was positive for the first time... And I sent it to you straight away.
Yeah.
You were the first person I contacted.
Which I feel very special about. Even before George.
Yeah, so it worked. And I just
and
remember
to get
crying.
A result at day 6.
I know.
Because I remember trying to test it. Like, I was too scared to test it day 7 or 8 because I'm like, oh, it could still, you know. But yeah, to get a good line at day six, I'm like, Lucy, you're done.
Yeah.
You've done it. You've made it.
And actually the next day, I started feeling nauseous.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it was just amazing. And then obviously you need to wait the process and test day 12?
Day
14?
Oh, yes, it's day, I think it's day 11.
Day 11.
And we tested day 10 because I was bleeding, but it's day 11.
Yeah, day 11. So done the test day 11, the numbers were good, Charlie called to follow up, and because you told me about him as your OB, of course I wanted to be with him.
Yeah.
My OB.
Yeah.
So yeah, I asked him, he said, I would absolutely love to stay with you. So then he got to deliver our miracle baby, which was just so magical to see
absolutely.
The whole process.
Absolutely.
From meeting him to delivering our baby.
Yep, absolutely.